thank you for listening to this AHDB podcast. Summer has arrived, and no better way of telling that that's the case than the wafting cooking smells drifting from one garden to another. Yes, the barbecue season is back, and amongst the great work AHDB does for levy payers is investing in marketing and advertising activities. This summer, with staycations and people's holiday plans concentrating on being at home, the marketing girls and boys have put a campaign together to tempt even the cautious to fire up the barbecue. Flaming June is behind us, and July and August look set to be busy for butchers across the land as they prepare pork, lamb and beef cuts for a gentle grilling over the coals. Now that's actually where the questions start to creep in. Charcoal, wood embers or gas fired? What's the best? It's all really complicated. And you don't need to be a master chef to make barbecue. You don't need to be a master chef to make barbecue meals a sizzler. To help answer those questions and perhaps any other questions that might be in your mind, and to share some tips, I've got a couple of great guests for you today. Sue Stoneman is a barbecue enthusiast from the West Country and with lots to share about making the most of the great outdoors meal occasion. And Greg Emerson joins us too. Greg was a semi-finalist as an amateur chef in the 2018 MasterChef competition and has built up quite a following with his exploits involving cooking outdoors. But first, let's talk to AHDB's Carl Pendlebury about what's behind the campaign and why this barbecue market is so important to food producers and levy payers. So hi, Carl. Thanks for coming on the podcast again. I think I'm right in saying that in 2020, we saw the biggest year-on-year rise of barbecue occasions.
Yeah, hi John. Thanks for hosting another podcast for us. This is a really important campaign for us at AHDB. It's one of the first few that we've done, which is really cross-sector, encompassing beef, lamb, and pork. And you're quite right that it's a really important sector, and particularly through 2020. You know, 2020 saw us food service closed, and we really took to barbecuing like no other year. In fact, barbecue occasions were up 44% year on year, and it amounted to around 100 million barbecue meals between April and August, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, you look at your close-knit family getting together around those meal occasions, utilising fantastic quality meats off those grills. Burgers and sausages still made up a huge proportion of those meal occasions, which is great for utilising the carcass, but also the steak consumptions and the real quality end of the steaks rose by about 25%. This was behind an increase overall of plus 44% within that barbecue arena, and butchers, high street, farm shops, retailers really did go all out to encourage people to utilise those steaks through that period.
And you made a reference there to the fact that there's a range. So not only is it about pork, lamb and beef, but it's also about decisions around whether it's burgers or sausages or joints and steaks. And you're a keen barbecuer. And I think, you know, you're not shy of putting a joint onto the barbecue, are you?
I really love to fire up the barbecues, fire up the grills, and really make an occasion for it. And I really like the fast and the searing sizzles on the steaks, but also I like the low and slows, really creating either the briskets or the pork shoulders to pull, and actually combining lots of different meats to make that mixed grill environment a real all-day occasion that almost becomes like a tapas feast, really, and just sharing that right the way through the day. And there's nothing better than doing that with family and friends.
So we're into a 3-month campaign. AHDB has funded this marketing and advertising, and during this week, between the 2nd and the 11th of July, it's National Barbecue Week. So tell us a little bit about the promotional activity that's underway.
So during that week, there's going to be lots of activity coming out on Simply Beef and Lamb on all social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, but also on the Love Pork site as well. And we're trying to mirror the two sites together so that we actually create this community of barbecue enthusiasts and take our listeners along on the journey to actually start to fire up for summer and really make a real advantage of the gardens and the space and the outdoor kitchen area that they can create whole meals on. We've also got Greg at that point during that week on the 7th actually doing a pork dish, which will go out on the Love Lamb Instagram TV arena. And he's going to do a pork leg steak char siu style, which I'm really fascinated to see.
Well, I'm going to ask Greg about that in a minute then. So, okay. So now let me bring in our first guest. Let's introduce Sue Stoneman and bring you into the conversation. Sue, thanks very much for sparing the time to join the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the accolades that you've acquired with your efforts with the kitchen stove, with the garden stove.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on your podcast. So yeah, I'm more of a home cook. So started baking with my mum. She was a great cook, learned a lot from her. Then when I had my own family, you know, learned to cook even more. Went on a build and bake day at River Cottage 7 or so years ago with my eldest son. And came back inspired, wanting to build my own, which I did 2 years later. Fell into outdoor cooking by doing that. Then went to work and found there was lots more out there to cook on outside. So the Kamado Joe's, the fire pits. And on the back of that, developed my home cooking skills and got my Southwest Home Cook of the Year title. But actually, I wanted to then show and encourage people that actually what you can cook inside in your domestic oven, you can also cook outside on a barbecue and not just your meat. I will cook your starters, your mains, your desserts, and you know, as long as you've got a barbecue with a lid, you can cook bread and cakes, and even a pavlova.
You know, being a kitchen-based chef to you know, cooking all the courses, as you've just said, on the barbecue in the garden.
It does take a little bit of learning just how to manage the temperature and adjust the heat, and also cooking to the correct temperature of how you like your meat, and obviously in a safe way.
Are you a gas or a charcoal cook?
I'm a charcoal cook, if I'm honest, and also it is nice to cook over wood as well. Just, you know, you can get different flavoured woods. They will impart different flavours into your food. So, you know, get a good quality product like a piece of beef, and you can add some layers of flavour to that whilst it's cooking.
There's a couple of things that blokes like to think that they've really got a handle on, and I don't want to offend you, but you know, clearly one of those things is dad dancing. You know, as you would get on in years, then dad dancing becomes something that you perfect. But also, so's looking after the barbecue. You know, this is traditionally you know, man's territory, isn't it? You've turned that stereotype on its head, Sue.
Not in this house. I click the tongs and I flip the meat on the grills, and mainly because my husband's not often home, but he certainly enjoys eating whatever I cook. And for me, there's nothing nicer than people messaging me saying, oh, you know, how do you cook that cake on the barbecue? You know, can I have the recipe, which I'll happily give? And then they'll message me with a picture and then they've cooked it themselves. So I've inspired them, hopefully, to, you know, fire up and get cooking and have a go themselves. And it's also a way of involving the whole family, and even with kids when it comes to making breads or flatbreads. So it's not always just one person manning the grill. You know, you can make it into a family thing.
Carl talked about beef, pork, and lamb, and the different cut steaks and what have you. Is it tricky using the different sorts of meats? Have you got a favourite, or would you just encourage everyone to have a go?
I would just encourage everyone to have a go. What you can cook inside on your hob and in your oven with just a little bit of tweaking, you can do it as well outside.
And what about one or two tips about trying to keep the stress levels low? Is it all about the preparation and the marinades, or what would you share?
I would say allow plenty of time. You want to enjoy your cook. Allow extra time. And if you're cooking a joint of meat, you need to allow maybe another hour than you would normally. I tend to prepare everything well in advance so you can cook it and enjoy it and not have the stress. And I know a lot of people talk about saying, oh, I had to finish it off in the oven because it wasn't ready yet. Well, if you only got to wait another hour or so, that's not too much longer to wait, is it, for your food to be cooked or your piece of meat to be cooked at the right temperature?
Let's just bring Greg Emerson in now. He's our next guest, and hopefully Sue's going to stay with us and may have other contributions to add along the way. But hi, Greg. Thanks very much for sparing the time. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, John. It's great to be here with you, Carl and Sue. I really appreciate being invited on to support AHDB in this marketing campaign. So, I am Greg Emerson. I was a contestant on MasterChef, the amateur one, on 2018. Made it to the semi-finals. Since then, it's kind of opened up a whole new world to me, which I knew existed, but I never explored it. And it's fed into my obsession with cooking, which I think if it gets any more extreme, I probably will be heading for a divorce. But all joking aside, that's my other mistress in my life. So.
Mechanics, let's get the mechanics out there. I asked Sue about gas or coal, so where do you stand on that?
I use a mixture between it's all fire, so it's a mixture. I use woods and charcoals, and I'd lean in towards at the moment some Japanese charcoals that I use called Binchatan, because it just holds a really constant heat without a lot of smoke. And I use Homoak a hell of a lot. I mean, I'm staring at a huge pile of it outside the window now. So, but right. For me, it's about that constant temperature, and being what some would deem a traditional indoor cook, that's a key thing. You know, that it's mastering the temperature is one of the key attributes, what I found moving from an indoor cooking space to outdoor. And it's a complete different arena for cooking. It's completely different. If people think that you can just step outside and you'll be as good a cook, that's really not the case. You're going to go through lots of disasters and burn a lot or undercook things. And it really is learning to master the fuels and temperatures and so forth. And they're my go-tos, and I'm comfortable with them. I'm probably going to branch out to others at some point, but at the moment I'm happy with those.
Okay. And where do you get your inspiration from to barbecue?
Mine is we've got this great thing now, which is enabling this conversation to take place, is the internet. It's, you know, it's the greatest reference library available. I mean, if I was a lot younger, I think probably my life would have turned out somewhat different from a cooking perspective. It's all the usual platforms, all my peers from an amateur or professional level in cooking, I mean, likes of Sue, everyone really, and travel. I mean, travel's been a huge inspiration for me in discovering ingredients I never knew existed. But also, I get a lot of inspiration, interestingly, from my wife, who's an interior designer, because she talks a lot about texture from a design perspective. So that's heavily influenced, and colours. And that sounds strange, but I've obviously got some sort of artistic streak in my head in terms of the way I plate my food, and I think everyone has from a food perspective. And that, I get a lot of influence from her. So yeah, there's multiple, really. I can't put my finger on one. Everything influences me from a food perspective.
It is often said, of course, that we eat with our eyes. So I get that design drift. I understand that. I'm wondering about the sort of the beef, lamb, and pork, and sausages and burgers. I mean, do we find sausages and burgers on your barbecue, or are things a bit more exotic?
Occasionally you do, if I want a really quick cook. So I'm not, you know, there's no snobbery around what I'm cooking, but if I'm cooking something either for an event or part of a, working for a client, either, you know, directly or indirectly as part of a marketing piece, then it's a different thing, you know, in terms of, showcasing an ingredient. But yeah, I mean, I like everything. I cook all sorts on there. I mean, there's nothing that's not gone through my barbecue at some stage. In the last few months, even in the winter months.
Let's just share some tips. So Sue kindly told us that time is probably the greatest tip, as well as temperature. Have you got any other tips that you would want to pass on to listeners?
Yeah, I mean, and this goes with really experience, I think, is people cooking at too high a temperature, or the food is too close to the flame. So I tend to let the flame die down, and I've got white hot coals, and I'm fortunate enough I have the Argentinian grill, so I can regulate where the food sits in terms of our height from the heat. And you can kind of feel that with your hand, you know, if it's really uncomfortable for my hand, then it's going to be for a piece of protein. Therefore, I need to move that a bit further away, or in an area that's in direct heat, so that I can just regulate how it's cooking. And that's what, going back to that point I said earlier about the difference with the outside cook and indoors. So that would be my biggest tip, is sort of, you know, get used to the zonal regions of cooking on whatever system you have, and make sure you have a colder section, so you can move from a direct to an indirect heat source. That's my key. And let your meat rest before you slice it.
Okay, great tips. Thank you very much. Sue, just to come back to you, if I may, Carl introduced me to that phrase, low and slow. I love that idea, but I'm not terribly patient, so I'm afraid I am the one that's throwing on the steak. But what are your favourites? Give me an idea of that. If you could have your dream meal, what would you go to?
Well, I've got lots of dream meals, but, you know, low and slow, you're talking about, you know, a nice bit of pork shoulder. You can cook that in a any barbecue with a lid on, indirect cooking. So you sort of take out that direct heat, so it's not going to burn, but it's going to cook slowly. The flavour from the meat will do its magic, and then you can add some rubs on. You cook that for maybe 5 hours. You know, that's not very long, really, in the barbecue world, 5 hours. And then you can wrap it and add some liquid, be it beer or stock, and let it cook for another 2 or 3 hours. And then you can then get that to an internal temperature of 95 degrees, and that would make a wonderful pulled pork, and that will go a long way and feed a family. So you can turn a great cooking bit of beef into something really tasty. You quick cook, and another low and slow would be a beef brisket, but not the flat brisket, but a rolled brisket you can pick up from your local butcher. That would make a great cook in a pot on your barbecue with some onions and peppers and tin of tomatoes and red wine, and let that just simmer away for, again, 3 or 4 hours. You're going to have an amazing tasting pot of deliciousness. And it's great. You know, your ribeye steaks or your lamb chops or your pork steaks, just everything tastes better, I think, when you cook it outside.
Carl talked about the fact that you've got a special dish that you're doing with pork leg, you're doing, I think, a demonstration on Instagram. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so it's I'm a big fan of pretty much every cut of pork. Every element of a pig, really, from the ears right down to the tail and everything in between, having spent some time in Spain. So I kind of got spoiled, really. But the dish really is a nod to our heritage of Cantonese cooking in this country. So from the Chinese immigrants were the first to set up takeaways in the UK, and that being a part of the British staple diet, and then where Chinese cooking is now in the UK. I mean, it's really, you've got restaurants now that have up to 2 Michelin stars, and it's really that nod to that classic char siu dish that we've probably all eaten at some point, with the red dye in it, and the pork's very red and very sweet, and it's savoury and it's a bit sour, and it's just it's so Moorish. It has that umami hit that you just keep going back, regardless of how full you are, you're just going to go back. So it's a nod to that, really. With all the I'm using all natural ingredients, making my own char siu sauce. I'm not going to give that away because that's a bit of an intellectual property for me, but I'll share some of it with Cole when the cook goes live. But there's no food coloring. I mean, traditionally in the old days they'd use food coloring. They sort of away from that now, and it's a lot more natural, but it's a lovely way to cook pork. Obviously it's very dramatic, it's got fantastic flavors, and you can riff a little bit on the recipe, the classic recipe, in adding a little bit different 5 spices and different white wines and white wine vinegar and different kind of levels of molasses and soy and hoisin and so forth. So I love it. I hope everyone will enjoy it on the evening. And it's straightforward. It's really, again, coming back to what Sue said, really, about the prep. It's a lot of most of the work is in the prep. You know, we're going to marinate the pork overnight, probably going to do it at least 24 hours, so that all those flavorings permeate through the meat. And it's quite a fatty cut. You know, there's a lot of collagen in there, so we've got to cook it slowly. So the protein and the muscle doesn't sort of contract too quickly, and that's the idea when Sue was talking about, you know, that low and slow technique in just easing that protein into the structure and absorbing all the flavors at the same time, so it doesn't dry out. So that's the aim. I'm hoping we achieve that on the evening.
Greg, it sounds wonderful. Thank you. So barbecuing is a fascinating subject, and it's really great to hear all your delicious ideas, and thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Carl, just to come back to you very briefly, for people who want to know more, where should they go?
So we've got the webpage, which is the Fire Up for Summer webpage on the AHDB site. But we've also got the social media sites on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, which is Simply Beef and Lamb and Love Pork. And yeah, you know, I think that what we've got today from two phenomenal guests is a passion for the outdoor cooking, a passion for the barbecue. They've made it sound incredibly easy to go and have a go, and to really be enthused and really make that space their own. I think that if people can then share their photos on social media and use the hashtag #FireUpForSummer, that'd be an amazing success. And really what we want to do is inspire the next generation to come forward, and whether that be on gas, charcoal, coals or pellets, actually that would be a phenomenal idea to try and get that inspiration move forward.
Fantastic. Yeah. So if we've kindled your barbecue fire and your passion for outdoor cooking and you want to get involved, just remember hashtag fire up for summer. Thank you very much to my guests, Sue Stoneman, Greg Emerson and AHDB's Carl Pendlebury. And thanks to podcast producer Aisha Shabman. If you've got any comments on this podcast or any ideas for future podcasts, please get in touch via the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. Or you can email me, john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.